again bid everyone welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, enjoy friendship and fellowship, especially to involve ourselves as a congregation in giving worship and praise to God. As we noticed, and Jim made the announcement this morning, of so many empty spaces, we have so many that are away for various reasons, and so we certainly bid those Godspeed who are traveling, and we wish to pray for the best for those who are experiencing illnesses. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, very welcome to do that. The title of the lesson comes from the verses in the introduction, or at least one of the first verses, things that are lawful, but not expedient. Kind of a secondary title would be, should I or not? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient, meaning they're not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Gave the illustration of Mary and Martha, one occasion in the life of Jesus. He is there and he's presenting a lesson to those in the house, but Martha is busy doing other things. So Jesus calls that to her attention. He says, Martha, Martha, says you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So there's choices that we have in life. Wasn't that Martha was doing something illegal or wretched or criminal, but it just wasn't the wisest choice for the moment or for the time. So by definition, so that we're all kind of on the same page in this lesson, when you look up the word lawful, how is illegal, legitimate, permitted, also use the word allowable, it's okay or authorized, not criminal. There are just things in life that we certainly can do. But then with sometimes, but the text is saying, but it may not be expedient. Meaning currently it's not the best choice. Not suitable at the moment. Impractical. Unwise. It's just not advisable to do that right now. That's the idea. Imprudent. So when an activity has a clear prohibition or does not have a clear prohibition, how do I determine my choice? How do I determine whether I should proceed or not? Legitimate, allowable, but may not be the best choice. Now we know certain things are prohibited. Know the thou shalt not. It's in the Bible. But when it doesn't have a thou shalt not, how do I as a Christian determine whether I should or not? You know, in society, this may have happened in your life, it's happened in mine. We're driving at night on a rain-slick highway. Heavy fog. Posted speed limit says I can go 65 miles per hour. Should I? It's lawful. But how do I determine how fast I'm going to drive? So I might ask myself a question. Will my speed, if I go 65, put me in danger? Or will it put others in danger? Of course, we probably, or perhaps, would slow down. We would drive safely. Right? Think of another illustration or example. There's a bowling league that I wanted to join. I hope nobody plays, goes bowling. Hope I'm safe with this illustration. There's a bowling league that I want to join. It's last for 3 months. You know, September, October, November. However, it competes on Sunday morning at 10:30. be advisable? What should I add? Number one, does it lead toward sin? Lead toward sin. I ask myself, is it just a step in the wrong direction? Just a step. You know, it has the appearance of everything good at the start. But where's it heading? Where is this activity going to take me down the road? So we want to have an end view toward an activity also. Are there any adverse consequences to this action? I heard some people will pray, oh, dear Lord God, lead me not into temptation. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. And then they'll go flirt with something and kind of tease and toy with something they know. It's just a step in the wrong direction. I've always wondered why some people want to see how far away they can get from God without leading God. Some people don't think, oh, let me see. Okay, this looks good. Boy, if I go any further, I'm just on the wrong side of God. But this looks pretty good. It's right here where I am, a long ways away from God, but I still feel pretty safe. I don't know why some people want to live their Christianity or their spirituality on the edge. How, God, how far can I get away from you and still be okay and still be on your side? So we ask ourselves, is this activity that I'm involved in just a step in the wrong direction? Does it lead toward sin? Number two. I'll put a verse with this one for number one. In Romans, I put it in notes. Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So don't go to those places. Don't take that one step in the wrong direction. So number two, does it weaken me spiritually? So I'm going to again ask myself a follow-up question. Do those that participate in this activity appear to lose interest in prayer or worship attendance? Or Bible study? Or Christian association? Remember, nothing wrong with the activity. Just asking. I have to have some questions to ask myself whether I should proceed or not. In Romans 14, verse 18, it said, for he that in these things, serving Christ, is acceptable to God. So there's certain things that are lawful. And approved of men, he says. So he says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify or build up one another. So if this activity is tearing me down, that answers my question. I need to kind of stay away. But if this activity is going to build me up and encourage me in Bible study and prayer and attendance and fellowship and friendship, Number three, is it wasteful? Is it wasteful? In other words, can I afford financially this activity for this hobby that I have? How much is this recreation or this activity going to cost me? And if it costs me something, will it rob me of supporting my family? Kind of a practical question. On the other side, will it cause me to rob God? I'm spending all this treasure on this recreation or this habit or this hobby. And then I come to worship and God, I can't give you. You know all that money I spent last week? A lot of legitimate activities. Things that are okay to spend our treasure on. However, if it causes me not to give to God, not advisable. It's not practical. Activity may also be wasteful in time. Excessively time consuming. Takes us away from Christian obligations and service and worship assembly. So we're just asking, is it wasteful? Number four, will it harm my body? Will it harm me? Paul asked the question to the brethren in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. our life. Things that are okay, maybe when they're used correctly, but in excess, they would destroy our health. Things like, you know, even water is okay, but you can really literally drink too much. Or you could exercise, which is okay, but do it in a way that harms rather than helps. Or a diet that may not be right for you, even when you see those advertised on television, they'll say, check with your doctor first. But water and exercise and a good diet don't violate any law. It's not criminal. It's not wretched. So I just put in your notes, don't go to Coney Island. don't participate in a hot dog eating contest. Well, maybe once. Number five, in general, does it interfere with my friendship with God? You know, we are careful, and rightly so. Many times we'll even make sacrifices or go to great lengths to not offend our friends. We'll do anything for them. You know, well, you can always count on me. But Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, ye are my friends. But he put the qualifier on it, if you do whatsoever I command you. So I sometimes wonder in comparison, why do we strive so hard to maintain loyalty to our friends, and sometimes or many times those friends may lead us down the wrong path. And so with the same great effort, we should strive not to offend our friend Jesus. He just said, you are my friend. So I don't want to unbefriend Jesus by divided loyalty or giving him second place or lack of commitment. An activity that would take me away or interfere with our friendship needs to be avoided. Number six, will it hinder the gospel? Will it hinder the gospel? Romans 14, verse 16. Says, let not your good be evil spoken of. So I need to ask myself, will the activity that I'm involved in, the recreation, or this hobby, will my conduct in this activity bring criticism upon the church? I've known non-Christians to ask Christians, what are you doing here? Because they know that the Christian's attendance there is out of character for a Christian. That, and plus they think that the Christian's attendance at there will dampen their party spirit. We don't want Christians in this party. Sometimes the worldly know better than us. And they probably know that we've just compromised our position. You may even not engage in the actual activity. But you just shouldn't be there. And we're all always going to get invitations from work associates, or friends, or from others. And it may be an invitation to an event that we probably should know, I probably just should not attend for whatever the reason is. Yeah, it's legitimate. I may go and not participate in the activities, but just being there may cause our good to be evil spoken of. Titus 2, verse 8. Speak about sound speech that cannot be condemned. Then it says, so that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So you don't, we want to live our lives in such a way that it doesn't hinder the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, let abstain from all appearance. Oh, just the appearance of evil. Kind of an added one, will it hinder my influence? And again, some people will want to say, it's my life, I can do with it what I want to, I'm not hurting anybody. But Romans 14, verse 7 says, none of us live to themselves and none die to themselves. What we say and what we do does have an impact, does have an influence on others. And we think, I'm just harming myself by doing this. No, you're not just harming yourself. There are so many other people that have care and concern for you and for me. I can't just live my life the way I want to. Can't do that. So the activities and the recreation or the hobbies that I'm involved in, or the places that I'm invited to go, will it hinder my influence? You know, your influence even lasts after you die. My parents died years and years ago. However, I'm still influenced by them. I've heard Christine say more than one time, you're acting like your mom. I mean, how's that? She'll say, well, your mom always orders the cheapest thing on the menu, even when she doesn't like it. Why are you ordering that? It's not very expensive. And then she'll say, you're acting like your mom. Influence. Last one will place me in bad company. Who you spend time with, how you spend your time, will determine your attitude and action.
Yes.
Who you're with and where you go and what you do affects your attitude and actions. I can't always determine who my coworkers will be when I was teaching school full time. But I can determine my close friends. Your parents and mine always said, too, you lay down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. In other words, you catch what they have. So we ask the question, will it place me in bad company? So I just put that to last. Strive to live your life so that you have no regrets, but you can run for public office. If you ever want to know anything about your past, just run for public office.
Yeah, exactly.
Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's an invitation for one to become a Christian, meaning to be baptized for remission of sins. There's a simple plan or formula or a recipe to become a Christian. We kind of number these. It's sensible. Number one, you need to hear the gospel message, the good news message. How can you believe in something you haven't heard? Paul said in Romans chapter 10. So you have to hear. Jesus said, come to me and learn. Learn of me. Learn. Second, we need to believe that gospel message, that good news message of salvation. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, he said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Belief is necessary. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe. And then number three, a third step that follows on that is then once we hear the good news message and believe it, it's going to turn our life around. The Bible calls it repentance. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. In Acts chapter 8, we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And Philip preaches unto him Jesus from the scriptures. And the Ethiopian stops Philip in his message and says, here's water. Anything stopping or hindering me from being baptized? And Philip says, you believe, you may. And he makes a confession. He says, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And that's the confession we make. And so Philip said, stop the chariot. And that's point number five. They went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water, and it mentions again, both Philip and the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Why? Why is he happy now? because he's obeyed the gospel message. It was taught to him. He believed it. He said, I'm going to turn my life around. He made the confession of faith. And so Philip says, stop the chariot. We're going to baptize you. From that point on, Bible says in Romans chapter 6, new life begins. We begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So at the close of every lesson, we extend that invitation for those who have not obeyed that plan or that formula, that recipe, to do so while we're gathered here to share with you in your decision. And we can do that. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or prayers, we can also accomplish that. You simply need to let your resolve be known. So while we're singing this song, if you want to respond in a public way, just come have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you a question. Say, what's on your mind? Your answer is, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or Brian, I want brethren to pray with me or for me. And that's it. And we'll do it. So let's stand together. And we'll sing the song that says that.